So I am Alberto Planas. I am part of the cloud team for SUSE these days, but I started in 2012 and joined to the OpenSUSE team. So we are going to talk about some numbers, some statistics that we did in OpenSUSE, and we are going to try to make a picture of how is OpenSUSE today. This is the second time that we did exercise. The first time that we did that was in 2013, so 3 years is okay to see the difference between how we evolve. That is quite nice. Yeah, so this is more or less the thing that we are going to talk about. We are going to talk about OnLoAS, the number of installations that we have now, the how evolves the architectures and the medium. I mean, medium is how the people usually install our distribution. I have some a very small slide about the countries. Where are the people that is using OpenSUSE? And some to-do stuff that I think that is a good opportunity to address in some event like that. So let's talk about OnLoAD. I mean, there is a methodology that I use it for every kind of analysis. I use these steps. Basically, we have a very, very huge amount of log files, and they are very slow to analyze and to process. So what I did is to split the task in three big chunks that we address separately. The first task was, okay, we have a raw text. We are going to convert this raw text in something that we can easily query and iterate over that. This is the slowest part with difference. So for this task, we use BerkeleyDB. BerkeleyDB is an embedded database that is quite nice because there is a different mode of working. We use a queue approach. So we have a single file and we add chunks of the same site in the file. So it's very easy to add and very fast to recover. In this step, we didn't do any kind of analysis. We take the line. We split in chunks and put in the database. This is super fast, so super slow. I mean, 3 weeks of processing, and the net result was 2 terabytes of compressed database for since 2009 until 2016, until May of 2016. I take the opportunity to remove some redundancy, so I instead of storing the raw string, I use MD5 and a separate database to address that. So I try to really to remove redundancy. The real chunk of analysis was in a second step. So basically, what I do is iterate over the full time series and using some regular expressions and using some heuristics, try to deduce what is happening in each access that we have to our sites. Most of them is not useful for us. It's some guy that was asking questions, but sometimes Zipper is doing a very interesting job, so I try to recognize that and extract some information for there. This was quite fast. It's only 2 days of processing. I span like 10 machines doing that, so I have a script that is filling 10 machines with chunks, with slides of this database, and getting the data. In 2 days, everything is done. Super easy. And the last part is I use Jupyter, that is IPython, the old IPython, and matplotlib to try to gather some insight or gather some nice plottings. That this is the thing that we are going to share today. For OnLoAD, so for OnLoAD, we want to see what is the people downloading. So we have different, over our period of time, since 2009, we have different flavors, we have different architectures, we have different, we send our DVD, I mean, we have the DVD, we have the CD, we have the live, we have different ISOs that we distribute, we have torrents. So what is the people downloading? And how many people is downloading that? To do that, I read the logs, I search for something that is an ISO, and using some regular expression, I get the version 13.2.1, 13.2.2, 11.1, or whatever, the version of the OpenSUSE that is represented in this ISO. The good thing is that even we are using Mirror Brain for distribute the proxy, so we are not really serving this ISO. The infra team was super smart and put in such a way that we have a register of every proxy access. We have a register in our logs, so we are have a real picture of what are the people downloading, even if they are not using our infra. Yes, and for this analysis, I completely remove Factory and Tumbleweed because this is a different beast. I don't want to the noise that Tumbleweed can provide because Tumbleweed is a rolling distro, so the download doesn't provide so much information. Yeah, so this is the first chart that we can share. This is a weekly analysis of the downloads. You can see that there is a huge spike at the beginning, that this is 11.1, that is amazing. And after that, we have a very flat view, and every release, we have a spike for the distribution. A weekly view provides, in my opinion, too much noise. I mean, there is a high frequency spikes that I don't think that provides so much information. So the next step is to create groups of a different time slice, in this case, monthly. Yeah, I think that this is much better. I mean, we can have an insight of how many people are downloading our distribution in monthly basis. I think that there are something that we can see here. The very clear thing is that OpenSUSE 11.1 was huge. I mean, nothing compares to him. We are talking about 35,000 downloads in a month. This is really good. Eventually, we have for OpenSUSE 11.3, 4, 12.1, 13.1, 32, and Leap, we have a flat view that is quite consistent. It's normalized, and we are around 400 keys download per month. That is what we have. I think that we can see here that for every release, we have the spike is a bit smaller in every release. That doesn't mean that we are half let user. That means that the people, when there is a new release, they don't go super fast this month and recover the distribution. So this is basically the conclusion. So what we can say about this behavior? I mean, not much. We have 100K downloads per week. That is roughly 400K downloads per month. That I think that is a very interesting number. This is normalized. This is not in a spike. I think that we can say that we have a bit less impact in each release, but it's also fair to say that we are very, over the last 5 years, we have, 7 years, we have a very stable amount of impact in each release. So no matter how we invest in announcing the distribution, that we have this mostly the same amount of people that during this week or during this month are going to download the new version of OpenSUSE. And of course that 11.1 was something completely different. More interesting, installation. Installation refers not exactly users, but something that we can extrapolate from them. How many real users do we have today? There is a super cool feature in Zipper that every time that Zipper access to the repo, he's providing a random number, a new ID that is created for this installation. It's created specifically for this installation. So we can see in the logs how many times we see this computer accessing to our servers. So the Zipper provides some more bits. It's providing, of course, the package or the repo that is accessing and the medium that was used to install the machine. So for this analysis, I decide to take what version of the package or what version of the repository is accessing, so I can identify if this guy of this machine is accessing to a 13.2 repo or a 13.2 package. RPN, SRPN, Delta, whatever, I can gather the version from there. And also I pair that with the UID that we have. And after that, I create a data set, so a normal set, in a time slice. So for a weekly analysis, what I do is count only once this pair of version UID. So if this guy have 70 access during this period of time, I'm going to count that as a one single hit in our database. There is a version of this analysis with the one that we did 3 or 4 years ago. This time, I am not counting access to package to the official distribution or the upgrade. I am counting also access to the repo, even there is not effective installation of a new RPM. Why? Because we have Tumbleweed. Tumbleweed is going to be upgraded, or we expect that the guy is going to upgrade every time that a new snapshot is there. But not all the people are going to behave like that. I want to see the difference of the amount of people that are installing Tumbleweed or installing 13.2. They are not upgrading. They are not installing anything new from distribution or for updates, and in comparison with the previous exercise. And I think that is a more fair comparison. So if I discover a user in our logs, and this user is not installing anything new, I think that is fair that we have this user effectively, or this installation is still there. So this is weekly. This is super nice. So we can see several stuff here. Again, we can see tons of noise, so high frequency noise that provide high details of or a small spike that are difficult to explain. Make a lot of sense in to find a spike of new users that we only see during the period of the upgrade of the new release. Sorry, this is the people that are testing OpenSUSE and eventually discarding that. But we can see something really cool that is this is the left side. In the left side, we can see a red area at the very end. This is Factory and Tumbleweed. It's the first time that we can see Factory and Tumbleweed in this kind of chart that comprise like 300 K users that in previous SSI was not visible there. Now we can see that. We can also see that we have a period between 12.1 and 13.1 that we are decreasing on the number of users. But something happened, 13.2 leap and factory provide new something new that convince the people to install and remains with us as a use base that we have. And yeah, the linear model here is going up. This is the same view monthly. We can see, this is super cool. We can see the speed that the people are discarding the previous version and how it's accepting the new version. It's always the same ratio. It's like 1 year that the people are discarding the old version and getting the new version. And there is something really cool that we can see here, that very long distribution, like 13.2, and we can see that probably in leap, are behaved really well. So the people really want to stay for a year without changing the distribution. I think this is super nice. And again, we see Factory and Tumbleweed in the left side. That is amazing. It's really cool. Yeah, some conclusion, really interesting. We can see in the linear model, we can see 300 new installations per week. That is around 1,060 new installations per month. That is amazing. This is in the linear model. So if we remove from 13.2 to the past and we take from 13 to factory, we have a much, much, much higher rate of increase. So we are growing fast and more. We can see this 250K key unique installation in a week. That is roughly 500 key unique installation in a month. And that we can see that long cycle release are really good for the project. And yeah, we can see Tumbleweed users. For Tumbleweed, we have different methods of counting. I have two scripts that are counting Tumbleweed users in two different ways. This is every Tumbleweed user that I see in the database is counted. Maybe it's not installing anything, but it's counted. But I have another script that is removing the people that are not installing anything. I don't count that as a user. We can see that we have 60 key users of Tumbleweed, and only the half, 30K users, are updating frequently. This is what it is. It's strange, but people are installing Tumbleweed, and during this month, they are not going to upgrade anything. And also, it's the distribution by far that is growing faster. It's really growing really faster. If we check the same amount of users, I mean, if they check the amount of users from the previous year, we have twice as much than 1 year ago. So really, good job. I mean, I think that the community and the OpenSUSE team and the chairman and everything worked really well, and something clicked, and we have more guys that are very happy with the technology that we provide. That is really nice. Arch and Medium. This is not very interesting, but let's see. As I said, Zipper provides some small bits of information every time that it's accessing the repo. I can deduce, or sometimes I can infer the architecture that this machine is using, because the architecture is in the repo sometimes, or in the RPM. And Zipper is also providing the medium that was used to the first install. So we are going now, in this exercise, we are going to count single hits and during this period of time, and group that hits per week, and check how the mediums and the architectures are behaving. So in the first chart, we have the medium graph. We can see that basically the principal way or medium of installation is still the DVD. The second most important one is FTP. That makes completely sense. It's the DVD image that we provide and the net install that we provide. So eventually the rest of the distribution we remove live from the live version of, it's not really supported. There are some remains there, but we see that the people is adjusting to the option that we provide. And for the architecture, it's obviously Intel, the 32 version of Intel is not growing, is very stable, is decreasing, and is tending to disappear, and is going to be replaced by the 64 version. That is basically what I see here. There is something really weird in 2012, that is the amount of access, even though there is no difference of users, so it's the same user, but accessing again and again to this period of time, to the repo. So it's not providing information. I don't know if it's a difference in the way that Zipper works or some crazy stuff that happened during this year, but it's not really important, but it's curious. This chart is not really informative, but if we combine that with the other two, we can see several stuff. We can see that usually the user take the DVD, and this is the thing that is going to use to install. But we can see that after that, they are probably not going to download again the DVD. They are going to use the Zipper feature to upgrade the system. So this can explain why the downloads are not very relevant, but we have more and more users, and they are moving from distribution to distribution via Zipper update. Countries. There are a lot of things that we can say about countries. I'm going to say a little about that. mostly about because matter of time, but. What I did here, okay, so we have UIDs, we have path, we have medium, we have architecture, but we have also an IP. So we take the IP and using this GeoIP, try to deduce what country this request comes from. Also, I use the trick of UID to discard IPs that come from the same user because this is not relevant for us. And after that, I create an histogram. I have a very long histogram of countries and the number of access that I have, and I make a selection of only the 25 more important countries. I did this exercise in 2009, 10, 11, 12, and in the first month of 2016. So I repeat myself like a lot, and I always have the same chart. There is a difference in the long tail is different, the ordering is different, but this is mostly the percentage are mostly equal. So we have a huge success in Germany, which makes sense. We are in Germany. But this also indicates something very strange I think that is showing us an opportunity. If we divide the amount of users that we have with the population that this country have, we can see that we have a huge potential of growing. Maybe not in Germany, but United States, Brazil, United Kingdom, they have huge population and they are less represented in our chart. And always the first 10 are always the same. It's Germany, United States, Russia, United Kingdom, Brazil, Italy, Poland, Spain, France, Australia, Netherlands. After that, it's changing. We can see Greece, we can see Argentina, we can see other countries that are changing depending of the year. Yeah, this is more or less the conclusion that I try to express. And there is one very important missing bit here, OBS. Our community is not downloads, is OBS. In 2016, we had the data to basically show how many new people we see in OBS, how many people are contributing with package to OBS, but not this year, and this is on me, sorry. I think that there is something else that we need to do. I think that this way of gathering basic data is really, really useful for the project. I think that this is the kind of project that can be delegated to the community itself. I mean, there is a privacy problem that we need to fix. This data is restricted by several laws, so needs to be protected. But there is a mechanism to gather the information, to gather the relationship and the evolution of the users, without breaking the privacy of the information that the IP or the UID can provide. And I think that it's really cool if we can normalize, if we can do this exercise every month, every quarter, or every period of time, because the community has a new tool to make decisions based on something real, that is the data. I want to put the example of countries. We know that we are really important in Germany, but not how really important we are in Germany. And that points clearly that there is path to grow and maybe even translation that we need to prioritize. I don't know how well OpenSUSE is translating Russia, but I really hope that it's really well translating Russia because we have a huge amount of using for there. So this kind of decision, this kind of prioritization can be based on not intuitions, but in real data. Yeah. So basically that's the thing that I want to present. Was short, was fast. I don't know if you have any questions, something that I can explain a bit more. Oh, yeah, one question that probably I'm going to have is in this chart, this one, others that usually refers to very old distribution like the 10.012, is blue, and we can see some baseline blue in 2014, November 2014. This is not, I mean, it's very easy to explain, is a fail in the regular expression. During this period of time, the project was in under very deep change, so we didn't respect too much the naming of certain things. So my regular expressions detect a user or something, an installation that was there, but I am not able to deduce the version that is using. Maybe it's factory, or maybe it's some distribution around every version of OpenSUSE. But eventually there is a UID there, even though I'm not able to deduce the version. So I didn't remove that part because it's something real accessing some resource that we provide, even though I'm not able to deduce what is behind that. Yeah. So questions?
With the country breakdown, would it be possible to publish a more or slightly more generic breakdown, so by region, just as an overview for, you know, Europe, for Africa, for Asia, just to get a very quick glance, and then you can break down into the country specifics? That could also be quite useful to work out areas for targeting and for some of the community involvement.
Yeah, I think that this is a really good idea, because Europe is Germany, United Kingdom, Italy, Poland, I don't know, Spain, France. So we have a good chunk of users that come from Europe. We have a good chance that people that of users that come from as Asia and North America and South America. Yeah, we can do a more smart distribution of. I think that is really a good idea. Yes, more. Yeah, I think that is a good idea. But we can hide the fact that the big chunk of Europe is going to be represented only by Germany. So this gives a chance to, this is detail, gives a chance to understand the weight of one country in relation with the rest. But it's something that we can provide, yes.
With the architectural breakdown, are you looking at adding metrics for the ports? So for PowerPC, ARM,
yeah,
et cetera.
It's there. I mean, it's in the database, it's there. But I didn't publish that information. But it's there. I see PowerPC, I see ARM. But I didn't provide this information. It's maybe something that we can do, yes. But we don't have, I mean, do we have an official OpenSUSE for ARM? Because I the one for Raspberry Pi and PowerPC is there, but we have something official that we can say, okay, this is us.
Yes.
So we need to include that.
I mean, it's a bit more complicated compared to x86, because there's not a, certainly for 32-bit ARM, so for ARMv7, there's not a single ISO image. Whereas for Leap on AR64, there is a single image for that.
Yeah.
So it should be easier to track.
Yeah, everything that is missing here can be done, because the information is there. But I didn't do that, so.
Do you have any information or explanation why the release 11.1 had such high download numbers?
I have one theory that is there is a big relation between SLI 11 and 11.1. I think that is based in the same code base. I'm not sure about that, but apart from that, no. I don't know. Maybe it's, I don't know. But it's there. I mean, the data is there. We see that in 2013. We see that again in 2016. So the data is real. The IPs are different. So
maybe an alternative explanation: were there changes to Miro Brain or changes in the Miro the server setup that might have changed the log files?
There are some gaps, even you can see here some gaps, some missing period of time. This is fails in the servers, change between the server, because this information is not in a single place. It's distributed in three Pontifex servers, three machines. So sometimes we have missing data. This missing data is represented with the absence of data, but the increase of amount of data is, I don't see a relation with a change in the infrastructure, but I don't know. Cool. So that's all.